On the 14th day of November in 1971, I was a senior in college. It was a Sunday morning, and I went to a church near the campus of the University of Richmond called River Road Church Baptist. Little did I know that 33 years later, I would become pastor of that congregation. But that morning, the preacher was named Theodore F. Adams. For many years, he had been pastor at the First Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia. He had retired from that position some 3 years earlier. And River Road Church was awaiting the arrival of a pastor whom they had just called, and Dr. Adams was ably filling the pulpit on that morning. That morning, he preached a sermon entitled "A Spiritual Yardstick." Now, I hate to dissuade you from thinking I had such incredible recall of all of this, but the fact is, I was sitting in the pews that morning and I took the bulletin and I wrote some notes of what Dr. Adams said, and I kept that bulletin and I was able to go back and recall the date based upon still having that bulletin. Dr. Adams, in that sermon, posed a series of 8 questions. And he essentially said that those 8 questions would help us measure our progress in Christian discipleship. He used a very simple analogy, and it's one that I think many of you would appreciate because you have done something like this yourself. He described a child leaning against a wall or a door jamb in his house, and the father or mother taking a pencil, and as the child's backed up to the wall or door jamb and stretched up to his or her fullest height, the parent would take the pencil and place a horizontal mark at precisely the very top of the child's head. And then the child would step away and the parent would take a yardstick and begin measuring from the floor up to where that mark was, and then proudly announce to his or her son or daughter just how much growth had taken place in that child in the previous year. And what Dr. Adams said that Sunday morning was that just as you can measure the growth of a child against a wall, so you can measure the spiritual development or the growth of Christians by using a spiritual measure. And then he asked these 8 probing questions to help us look within ourselves and decide if we were making progress in the direction of growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. This morning, I'm going to ask you these 8 questions. And I'm going to let you decide yourself as you listen to these 8 questions whether or not you are growing in the likeness of Christ. So here they are. The questions, remember, are Dr. Adams' questions. The commentary on these questions in between belongs to me. First question: how humbly do I stand before Almighty God? There is a tendency on the part of all of us as human beings to rely upon ourselves. And yet, we recognize that we as individuals are not people who are completely independent. Some of you still read the comic section of the newspaper. If you do, you are likely to find, either in the Richmond Times-Dispatch or Virginian Pilot, a cartoon written for many years by the late Charles Schulz. It's entitled Peanuts. And one of my favorite cartoons in Peanuts shows Snoopy, that lovable little beagle, out next to his doghouse, and he is having a conversation between himself and his little bird friend named Woodstock. And Snoopy is saying to Woodstock all that he would like to say, bragging about his self-reliance, his independence. And then in the center frame, there is a silent picture of Charlie Brown, the owner of Snoopy, standing at the doghouse and placing before Snoopy a ginormous bowl of dog food. And then Charlie Brown turns and goes back into the house. And somewhat sheepishly, Snoopy looks at the bowl, looks at Woodstock, and admits, maybe I'm sort of semi-independent. The fact is, we are all semi-independent. We all rely upon others to feed us and nurture us and love us. And we all rely upon the unseen hand of God's providence to protect us and care for us day by day. We are, as Martin Luther once said, we are beggars before God. How humbly do I stand before Almighty God? Question number two. How grieved am I over my own shortcomings and those of the world around me? Do you remember that Jesus wept? He wept on more than one occasion. He wept first when his dear friend Lazarus had died, and when he received that news. The other occasion on which Jesus wept was when he stood overlooking that beloved city of Jerusalem. He looked into the city and cried to himself, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you under my wings as a hen gathers her brood, but you would not. If only you knew the ways that led to peace," Jesus said, as he wept over his beloved city. And if we look at the world around us, we too must find occasions to weep when we think of the people who are harassed and helpless and who do not understand the ways that lead to peace. Years ago, Leonard Griffith, a pastor in Toronto, Canada, so eloquently described the age in which we live as the age of the shrug. The shrug. You know, so what? We are a people who are indifferent, largely, to the coarsening of the conversation and the dialogue and the life of the world around us. How grieved am I over the shortcomings, my own shortcomings, and those of the world around me? Third question. How well is my life under God's control? The fact is, you and I listen to many voices. We listen to the voice of our peers, of our parents, of our teachers, of our supervisors. We listen to the voice of the culture in which we live. Every day, we are constantly listening to voices. But the question is, how well do we listen to the voice of God and allow God's voice to guide us and control us? The word meek is not a very popular word in our society. So our society tends to like people who are bold and brassy, proud, and loud. But the word meek is a good word. It means tamed. It means open, willing to be guided. Someone who is meek is someone who is pliable and shapeable. Do you realize that two people in the Bible are called meek? The first one was Moses. Now, can you imagine Moses being meek? But the reason Moses is called meek is because he would open his life to the control and the shaping of God. The other person who was described as meek in the Bible is Jesus. Because Jesus submitted his own life to the control of God. How well is my life under God's control? Question number four. How earnestly do I seek to know and to do what is right? There's an old legend about the Buddha. One day, a man came to the Buddha seeking to learn how he might live a life of righteousness. Buddha invited the man to come and step into the river next to which they were standing. The man, thinking that this is some sort of purifying or initiatory rite, immediately followed the Buddha into the river. And when they came into the deeper waters of the river, suddenly the Buddha turned around and grabbed the man by the head and shoved his head beneath the waters. The man gasped for breath, and at the point in which he thought he would drown, suddenly the Buddha released the man's head and he popped up and took a breath of fresh air. And then Buddha asked the man, "When you were underneath the water, when you were desperate, what did you want more than anything else?" "I wanted air," the man replied. "When you want righteousness as much as you wanted air, then you will find it," replied the Buddha. How hungry, how thirsty, how yearning, how longing are you to live a life that is right with others and right with God? The fourth question, how earnestly do I seek to know and do what is right? Question number five. How frequently and graciously do I extend a helping hand to those who have hurt me or wounded me? I know you people very well. You are the kind of people who always care for other people. You reach out a helping hand every day to someone in this community. The challenge of discipleship is not only to offer that helping hand to your friends and your neighbors and your family members, but to do that to the people who have in some way or another hurt you or harmed you. Do you remember Jesus at the cross, who forgave the very ones who placed him on the cross? And do you remember the words of the Apostle Paul? "God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." How frequently and graciously do I extend a helping hand to those who have wounded me? Question number six. How closely am I in tune with the spiritual values God has for me? Too often in our lives, there is a disconnect between our core values and our behavior. we say we have a cluster of core values that are precious to us and guide our lives, but sometimes we don't behave in ways that are consistent with those values. We say we want to be healthy, but we don't get the proper exercise, and we don't eat the right kinds of food to fuel our bodies. We say we want to be more in touch with God and God's purposes for our lives, and yet sometimes we overlook the importance of prayer and spiritual disciplines like reading the scriptures and worship. How closely am I in tune with the values God has for me? Question number 7. How well am I learning to get along with other people? One of the great writers of a previous generation was a Jewish man named Isaac Bashevis Singer. He wrote a little children's book on one occasion entitled Why Noah Chose the Dove. It's an imaginative tale about life aboard the ark. And in this children's story, Noah has chosen all of the best animals that he knows are important to have for the continuation of life. But unfortunately, when they are aboard the ark for a long period of time, some of the bigger animals began to belittle some of the smaller animals. They boasted about their size and their prowess and their importance. And soon, all the animals began to bicker. It was the dove who was the reconciler among all the animals. And so when the arguing started, even the arguing between members of Noah's family, so the dove stepped in and helped bring about peace. And as you know from the story, it was the dove that Noah chose to send forth to look for some sign of the continuation of life, of land, and the dove eventually brought back a leaf in its beak. We need more doves in the world in which we live. We need more people who are reconcilers. Not disuniters, but uniters. People who bring other people together. How well am I learning to get along with other people? Final question. How ready am I to endure hardship for Christian ideals? This past month, I've been teaching a Wednesday evening Bible study at First Baptist Church in Richmond, and on one of those sessions, which have been about the mission of the church, I talked about the instructions that Jesus gave to his first disciples, the 12, about the trouble that they were likely to encounter when they were on mission for Jesus. And so, as they went out and do the work of the kingdom, they would find themselves encountering the same kinds of opposition and difficulty that Jesus encountered. If Jesus was the master, the head of the household, then they, the servants, the ones who were living in the household and a part of the household, would tend to face the same kind of struggles that their master did. And so the question comes to us today, if we are loyal to Christ, isn't it possible that we too might find our loyalties tested and challenged, and that we might find ourselves facing some of the same costs that Jesus himself found? How ready am I to endure hardship for Christian ideals? Well, now, those are the 8 questions. How did you do? Are you growing in the direction that you think that You need to grow in order to be a follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ. Well, those were the eight questions posed by Theodore F. Adams on that Sunday long ago at River Road Church. But let me suggest to you this morning that those eight questions represent something that didn't originate with Theodore F. Adams. Indeed, it was a Jewish rabbi 2,000 years ago named Jesus who talked with his own followers about how they might find a life that is blessed and happy and wholesome and healthy. And so he said to his followers long ago, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." May we pray. You have taught us, O God, the measure of faith and faithfulness. Help us, O God, to measure ourselves by this spiritual yardstick. And in those places where we find that we are not measuring up, we pray, O God, that we might, by the presence of power of your Spirit, continue our progress of growth in the likeness of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.